This is Bill Messerly with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with a special Frontline of Hope update with Bishop Robert J. Brennan, Bishop for the Diocese of Columbus, for Friday, the fourth week of Easter. Welcome, Bishop Brennan. Your Excellency, we're in Easter still.
We are. 50 days of Easter. They're going to take us right through the month of May. Yes, indeed.
It's amazing that we can celebrate for that long. I think that we tend to think we can celebrate for an hour or two, or here in Ohio with Ohio State football games, maybe an afternoon. But after that, we're all tuckered out. But the Easter season goes on for such a long time.
It does. And, you know, we do have to work at it. In some ways, as Christians, we're very good about preparing and not always as good about celebrating, believe it or not. So, you know, Advent, you have those weeks of Advent before Christmas. And everything seems to be over like the day after Christmas or sometimes the day after New Year's. And yet, you know, feast goes through to the Epiphany and then most years to the baptism of the Lord. It's still a joyful time. And Easter is a joyful celebration, 50 days celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. And we have to keep reminding ourselves. That's why it's so good we begin each day with that happy Easter greeting. We're reminding each other that we're in that time of celebration.
And there's something to celebrate here in the state of Ohio. If you're watching the news, Governor DeWine yesterday, 5-7, May 7th, he announced that the restaurants, at least for outdoor service, will be open next Friday, the Feast of St. Isidore the Farmer. That's kind of exciting news, and I know that you're trying to digest all that news, not just the government news, probably a little less so, but a lot of the expert news so that our parishes can be opened up responsibly and gradually.
Exactly. So in a sense, you know, it's good to be informed by what they're doing, but we have our own schedule that we have to follow, and it is kind of matching up. So, you know, we look forward looking into next week. I don't have a specific date. We're kind of working out the details for opening churches for prayer, but we're getting there. And so that'll be our next step, and that's coming up very soon. And then from there, moving on to this celebration of Mass by the end of the month. So we're making all those preparations precisely. And I love your language, so that we can do it responsibly. You know, people made great sacrifices in these last couple of weeks, and we made a lot of sacrifices, and it made a difference. So our opening has to honor those sacrifices, right? We don't want to open in such a way that all that work we did and all the sacrifices we made are for naught because we just start a new spike, right? Mm-hmm. We want to do it responsibly, gradually, and providing to the best that we can for the safety of all people. You know, earlier in the week, I had a couple of meetings with the Ohio bishops, and I know pastors are working on the local level. I mentioned yesterday, today I have a meeting with all the priests, and I really look forward to that. I look forward to being all together with the priest. I've been meeting with priests in small groups over these days, and so we're going to talk about some of the guidelines and some of the things we need to do. We've been sharing those things back and forth so that we're all informed on what is absolutely necessary, what we need to do together, what works in, and then they can work out what works in a particular parish. It's a lot of back and forth, and then even more so, it's a lot of hard work for the people on the ground in the parishes, the pastors and the parish staffs. So it's kind of encouraging to see everybody engaged in that great work. And as we get ready to welcome everyone back and to, well, welcome people back as best as we can, we have to keep in mind that it's not necessarily over and it's not necessarily safe, that when we assemble, there are still very serious dangers. And all we can do is the best that we can to mitigate those.
You know, in sports, it seems like the bigger challenge you face as a team, the closer your team gets. Are you seeing that with your priest as you're dialoguing with them, facing the challenge of how to bring people back together responsibly and gradually?
Well, you know what it is? I think for us as priests, for me as a bishop, it's basically the unknown. You know, we can only predict based on experience, our experience along the way, our experience talking to people, and hearing the experience of others. but not everything can be predicted. Again, there are certain known facts, what we have to do in terms of the 6 feet social distancing and how we're going to work those things out. We certainly couldn't handle it if everybody came at once. I don't think that's going to happen, but we have to be prepared for every scenario. So it's just trying to look into a future with a lot of still unknown facts and with the realization that this isn't over and that, you know, there are occasions even now where people are gathering for one occasion or another. There've been little episodes in the city and beyond, actually, where we do have hotspots. I'm in a lot of contact with the medical world and with our state officials, and you know, there might have been a party somewhere, and oh boy, there are a number of infections, and things like that happen in different pockets. So it still is dangerous for people to assemble. It's just what we can do is, you know, it was put to me this way. The virus is going to be around for a long time. We have to learn how to live with it being around. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are now. We're learning how to live with it being around. We did all that we could. We made great sacrifices to kind of keep it at a manageable level. And our medical people did a yeoman's job. They did fantastic in addressing it. And so now, you know, again, we want to honor that hard work by doing this responsibly. We don't want to create new spikes, but we have to recognize it's still out there. The Lord's going to help us. The Lord will give us the wisdom, and the Lord will expand our hearts with generosity, even extreme generosity, so that as we take these steps, we're doing so really caring not only for ourselves and our own health, not only for our own family or the people right around us, but even for the common good, for the welfare of the whole community. We want to keep everybody well. We want to do exchange practices or hold on to practices that make sure everybody stays safe, because we're better off when everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm. Bishop Brennan, you kicked off the month of May last Friday with the renewal, the consecration to Mary, Mary, Mother of the Church, and we did that live 3 p.m. along with Archbishop Gomez, and we're entering Mother's Day this Sunday. So Mary is a central part of us as we face these challenges together.
Indeed. Very often on this weekend in the church, we think of Mary as we honor our own mothers, and, you know, One consolation for me, last year I didn't get home for Mother's Day. This year there's no way I'm getting home for Mother's Day. But my folks have been able to watch Mass. They've been participating in the Masses from St. Joseph's Cathedral. So we'll be together in some way, at least in prayer, in the heart of God. We'll be at the same place, at the same banquet, you might say. And so we all pray for our mothers and honor our mothers. We pray for those who are with us with great thanksgiving. We pray for those who have gone before us and for families that are separated and struggling. And we pray that the Lord will bless them and their efforts. I mean, you think of how our moms always, in this time of disease and safety, that was always mom's priority number one, right? Our health and our safety.
It always was. Thanks be to God for mothers.
Even today, I hear, are you wearing a coat?
I thought that would stop once you became the bishop.
You should be wearing a coat.
Well, today's reading, before we get to the closing prayer, do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus mm-hmm. says to his disciples. And that's
exactly.
Kind of apropos for today, isn't it? Because there's a lot of anxiety.
What a great message for us. That's right. The Lord speaks to us. You know, he's at the table with his apostles. This is a reading we often use at funerals. You know, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith in me. And then he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to myself again. But what a beautiful promise, right? Mm-hmm. And we know it's true because he did go on ahead of us. And he did come back, and he told us he'll come back again and help us across when our time has come. Yep.
Mary at Fatima said to the children, if they, meaning all of us, knew what eternity is, and of course that's what Jesus was referring to today in Gospel John 14, that he has a dwelling place for us. But if we knew what eternity was, we would do everything we could to change our lives and to convert. Isn't that powerful?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And, you know, someday I'll talk more about that prayer, the Regina Caeli. It's such a powerful prayer that I use all through Easter season. But, you know, think of the power of crying out, you know, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, the Son whom you were privileged to bear has risen, as he said. I think of, like, the kids on Christmas morning going and saying to Mom and Dad, you know, there are presents downstairs. And, you know, yeah, they know. Right? They know. But their joy is our joy, and our joy is their joy, right? And it's sort of like that with Mary. We're saying, the church is saying to Mary, rejoice, Mary. Your son is alive. He's risen. And you know, Mary's probably there. Yeah, I know. Isn't it great? But yeah, like just rejoicing with us and for us. But it's just, to me, it's just a beautiful prayer. Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. Mary, who taught him the basics of human life. And Mary, who accompanied him even to the foot of the cross and mourned, the sword indeed pierced her heart. But Mary, she rejoices because he's risen. And she, it's almost as if she's saying, yeah, you see, I told you all along, God's going to be faithful. Mm. Right? That's why I keep turning to that. Part of it is I do like being able to use the privilege of using different things during the seasons, you know. But part of it is that realization. We rejoice with Mary, and she knows, but she takes delight in our joy.
Bishop Brennan, would you like to close this with a prayer?
And can you guess where I'm going?
The Regina
Caeli. In the name of the Father. You got it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Queen of Heaven, rejoice. Hallelujah. For the Son whom you were privileged to bear, hallelujah, has risen as he said. Hallelujah. Pray for us to God, hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary. Hallelujah, for the Lord is truly risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And may Almighty God bless you. And may Almighty God grant choicest blessings upon all the mothers who are listening and all of our own mothers, living and deceased. And may that blessing be with us forever. And may Almighty God bless you again in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Bishop Brennan, what a gift it is to hear from you every day during these Frontline of Hope updates. You can listen to Bishop Brennan tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for his Saturday morning mass, and then at 10:30 on Sunday, and then next week at 12:05 for the afternoon mass, and then a special rosary for Our Lady of Fatima on Wednesday, next Wednesday. So go ahead and join us every day. Be sure that you keep that spiritual connectedness going through St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And now we rejoin our regularly scheduled programming already in progress.